Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Wally Stoneman, and he's with Mower. Welcome, Wally.
Thank you, Lee. It's great to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Mower. How are you serving folks?
Mower, we're a large independent agency. We're digitally integrated. Advertising, PR, marketing. We operate right now out of 9 cities. I'm in the Atlanta one, obviously, here with you guys. And we have offices in upstate New York, Boston, Cincinnati, Charlotte, and Atlanta. We deal with everything from the strategic insights side of the business to digital solutions to smart creative and award-winning results. So we are full service, fully independent, and fully collaborative with our clients and with each other.
So what's your role with the agency?
I'm Senior Vice President, Creative Director. So I'm kind of in charge of making sure that our creative product not only meets our clients' business challenges, but also meets the high bar we set for ourselves when it comes to the creative product that leaves our agency.
So now, how do you kind of thread that needle in terms of creativity and results?
It's actually a lot of fun, is the short answer. It's easy to put out there a positioning statement that here's what we need to do. But when you try to attack a business solution or a business challenge from the most creative way possible, but also keep that relevant, it just makes that challenge that much more fun. You can find these unique unexpected ways in. And now it's not, you know, we don't do it in a vacuum. Like I said, we have a really deep insights research group, a lot of really smart folks that get into the challenge and into the project before it necessarily makes it to the creative's desk. So they've identified kind of what are the angles we need to approach this project from. We have Mower has this program and an approach we call Brand as Friend. And what this does is it enables us to help brands connect with their consumers in much the same way that friends connect. So through affection, relevance, and trust. And this is not just, you know, something we say or something we do. You know, it's an academically proven and tested method of really aligning the key tenets of friendship and helping brands find out what their true authentic range is. And we can take that, we bake it into the creative so that when we're, you know, when we're talking to an audience creatively, we're talking in terms that they want to hear from a very authentic standpoint.
So now I understand how you would measure kind of the results part of this. That seems like math and money and things like that. How do you measure the creative part of this?
Well, you know, as a creative and our entire team does this is we, you know, we keep up with what's happening in the trades, what's happening in the industry. And you want to come at it from something that's unexpected. You don't want to do something that's everybody else is doing. So everybody's seen it. You've seen it. You've done it. You want to really catch someone's attention in an unexpected way. But like I said, it's got to be relevant. So we judge it based on, is it surprising? Is it something that stops me in my shoes? Does it make me take a little bit of a leap? You know, I'm one of those who believes you don't, you know, when it comes to creative ideas, you don't want to build 100% of the bridge. You want to make someone reach out and get it. Because when they have that aha moment, that bit of emotion really connects them closer to the idea. So you want to have a little bit of intrigue, something that surprises. Humor is always great. You know, humor plays well, especially in the B2B world. So does it move me as I'm looking at and judging the creative? Does it move me? Does it connect with me? And does it move the message along towards the path of ultimately purchase? You know, that's what we like to create art, but that art has to work.
Now, when you're working with clients and you're trying to kind of live into that philosophy. Sometimes when you are trying to be creative and do things that aren't obvious and that surprise people, sometimes you miss. I mean, that's just, you can't hit 100 out of 100. How do you kind of manage the expectations with your clients regarding, in order to really pull this off, we have to take a little bit of risk over here, but they don't want to, you know, kind of waste money and not get the results that they desire.
Right. And that's a great question, Lee. The best work, I will say, throughout my career, but as an agency, the best work we've done happens to be work for the best clients. So it is a shared partnership, and it's not just us taking a risk. We're asking clients to take a risk too. When we do that, and we'll never suggest a risk or recommend a risk that doesn't make sense doesn't make business sense for that client. So yes, sometimes we ask them to take risk, but we've built a relationship at that point to where they trust us enough to know we have their best business interest at heart. You know, we're not just doing this for statues to put on our shelves, but we're doing it to really move their sales needle. And when we do our job correctly, and when we do it the way we know we can with all the pieces we have in place, then you do both. You win the awards, you get the statues for your shelves, but that's kind of the icing on the cake of increased sales and better reputation for the business and whatever it is that goal is you're trying to achieve. So it's a shared risk. It's a shared reward. And it comes from just having a deep collaborative relationship. And we do have those deep relationships with our clients.
Well, speaking of awards, recently the B2 Gold for trade event marketing for an event in Germany. Can you talk about that?
Yes. And that's not only speaking of awards, but also speaking of deep collaborative relationships with clients. So for our client, Carestream Dental. Carestream Dental is based here in Atlanta. They're headquartered in Atlanta, and they are one of the world's leading digital dentistry companies. And they, we've had a great relationship with them. And when it came time to develop a campaign around their IDS trade show, it's this international dental show in Germany, and it happens once every 2 years. So it's a really big show when it happens, and they rely on it to get a lot of leads, to get a lot of buzz, to showcase a lot of their new projects. And they came to us to help develop a campaign around this. And we created, in lockstep with the client, this campaign that's called The Story Behind the Smile. And effectively, one of their mission points for Carestream Dental is changing lives. It's something they're very, very tied into. So we created a campaign that really helps tap into that idea that behind every smile, there really is a story. And whether that story is someone's obstacle that they've overcome or a milestone they've reached or a challenge accepted or even a dream fulfilled, that's, you know, every one of those smiles has a story behind it. And Carestream Dental plays a large part in helping bring those smiles to life. So we created this campaign that was not only, you know, used in all of the graphics in the trade show. There's video, wall graphics. There was a lot of, you know, the social was rampant on this. A lot of social campaign, a lot of social pieces, a lot of digital banner pieces. And the neat story about the story behind the smile was, you know, we worked in such tight partnership with the client that their team took and really ran with some of our social ideas and plussed them and amplified them in ways that maybe we couldn't have over in Europe. And they really just helped bring this campaign to life in so many wonderful ways. And it's really, really great when you can have a client buy off on an idea so strongly that you're just both working in lockstep with it. It was really a nice experience and a rewarding outcome.
And then at the end of the day, they got the results they desired?
They did. In fact, they, you know, like I said, this is the once every 2 year show. So they rely on it for results. And the results that we had is, I think in their booth, they received over 600 leads, which was great because they have, Carestream sells some fantastic technology, but it's higher end technology that does higher end dental and medical care. They had over 600 leads from three regions. The regions they pretty much hit are EMEA, the Americas, and APAC. They generated 400 email opt-ins, 50,000 video views on their Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube channels. And this was another thing where they took one of our ideas, and then they had a team in Europe that actually created a video that told the story behind the smile story in a really engaging way that got a lot of views. We had over 106 social media, organic and paid posts. I think at the end of the day, there was something like 1.3 million impressions with like a almost 600,000 reach from all of their social channels. So it was really, you know, they were wanting to bump numbers. They wanted to raise their Instagram profile and raise their Instagram followers was one of their goals. And they were able to increase that by a little over 11% during the promotion. And while we set out to create this campaign to really drive interest for this show, so it was really kind of a targeted, let's get people to this show, but it worked so well that it was a campaign that lived beyond the show and that they were still using.
Now for Mower, is there a niche that you serve or are you kind of industry agnostic?
Yes. And I mean, we have specialties. We have specialties in healthcare and energy and finance. We have a few specialties where we focus on, and mainly it's because we've got experience with clients within those industries with how to take the healthcare industry, for instance, with some of the challenges they're facing, and how do we market around some of those challenges and how do we help them think around those challenges? How does our PR group help them during crisis? You know, we have a lot of these tools in our toolbox. So we do have some very focused specialties, but we also are in a unique situation where as an independent agency and having these 9 offices that really, you know, I could truly say, because I work in Atlanta, but I work with people in every other office, is we truly do act like one office with really long hallways, even longer now that we have so many people working from home. But we can really pull in the person that our client needs for that job. They don't have to have a team of 50 necessarily, but they might need an insight specialist for this over here and a digital strategy specialist for this, paid search specialist over here, a developer for this. And we can pull in the pieces from the toolbox that we need to put together the right solution. So it makes it efficient, it makes it agile, and it gives us the chance to work not only broadly across a lot of different categories, but also form those deep specialties within some of the specifics, I suppose.
Now, how has the, let's talk about the pandemic in a couple different ways. One is your team. How has kind of working remote impacted that transition for a lot of folks, or were you already doing remote, having a remote workforce?
Yeah, we were we had a slight bit of an advantage, only in the fact that as one company with 9 different offices, we were already used to working remotely with other offices, even if we were all sitting in our office in Atlanta, but I may be working with someone from Charlotte or someone from our Buffalo office or however that works. So we were used to a level of remoteness. I have to give kudos to a group that usually doesn't get kudos, but our IT department has been incredible as far as keeping us all well connected and keeping us with the technology we need to stay connected. So when we made the transition to working from home during this pandemic, we were already, we had the technology in place. I don't know that anybody had the mental status in place. You know, the whole world's kind of like, oh crap, I got to do what? My family's going to get tired of me quickly. But we, so we had the technology in place, and then it was just a matter of really keeping our spirits up, our attitudes up, and being in close contact as we can with our team frequently so that we can keep up with how everyone's doing. So it's actually been very smooth for us. We're on a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of Skype calls, a lot of team calls. However, you know, our clients use different technologies. And also in Atlanta, we were also more used to it because we do have clients that aren't necessarily in Atlanta. We've got a lot of Atlanta based clients, but we also have clients based in other places. So it's, we're just kind of used to that working wherever you need to work.
Now, because you have clients elsewhere, you have any advice for those companies that are maybe having to pivot to more kind of communications via Zoom or via phone or however more online communication rather than in-person face-to-face communication. Any tips on how to do that in an elegant, like non-intrusive manner?
Yeah, this will be a shameless plug, but I would suggest we have a lot of great thought pieces and insight reports and articles on mower.com on our website that were produced by people a lot smarter than I am on this subject. We have a great PR team, a great content team that's put out an awful lot of content on how this has affected the country, how this has affected people, everything from tips to online meetings to what are some of the trends with how people are sending their kids back to school, for instance. So there's a lot of that information there. I would say personally to my clients, and a lot of my clients are in the same boat. They are with international companies, so they're also used to working with teams that aren't necessarily in the same physical location. So it hasn't been as big of a business hiccup from a technology standpoint, a communication standpoint, as I would have thought. Like I said earlier, I think the biggest hiccup, and this is not just advertising, this is not just mower, I think this is across the board for everybody, has been getting used to the isolation. You know, there's one of my insights people and I were talking, and she was telling me that we are in the midst of a loneliness epidemic that was actually started prior to the pandemic. And so then you take a loneliness epidemic and then you add in this pandemic where we're isolated. So I think the emotional toll is stronger on people. And we keep that in mind. You know, we try to always make sure, and you know, we check in with our team. We find out how they're doing. Same thing, we check in with our clients. Like I said, our clients are friends and our clients are relationships with us. So we're concerned with how they're doing on a personal standpoint as well as a business one.
Now, are you seeing any trends that maybe when we come out of this pandemic, any of the pivots that had to be made during it and to deal with it that might kind of be sticking around after it?
I think there's, I would say from my standpoint, what I see is I think there will be a greater sense of corporate empathy, if that makes sense. I think people will be more empathetic to their employees because a lot of people are having to deal with a lot. I'm fortunate in the fact that my kids are both high school aged, so they can more or less take care of their own schooling while they're schooling from home. I've got many colleagues who are juggling, you know, the many asks and challenges of the advertising world as well as schooling their young children. So it's a really tough thing. So I think that there's going to be an increased level of empathy from corporations. I think there's going to be a lot more work flexibility as far as where you work from. It's easier for us in a creative field to say, hey, I can work from anywhere and still, you know, it's wherever the muse strikes. But you hear of the Googles and Yahoos who are saying they may do permanent work from home or have very, you know, drop some of their office space. It's not it's a negative boon to commercial buildings, commercial leasing. But it is a reality where I think a lot more people see that you can be productive without always being under the thumb of a person in the office. And I think that'll be ultimately liberating to the business world.
Now, what pain is your prospective client having right now where mower is the solution?
Well, I think each one has different. We've helped a large number of our clients message early on during the COVID-19 pandemic and throughout it, as far as message, the right message to their constituency, to their customers. And then, so we've helped from a PR, a crisis standpoint, from that standpoint, but also marketing of just letting their audience know that, you know, this is we're not really selling, you know, it's less selling during the pandemic. We've done less selling in our messaging. And it's been more supporting because we're all, you know, it's cliched now, we're all in this together, but we truly are. So there's a lot of helping our clients keep that connection, keep that bond with their customers, keep that, you know, I talk about brand as friend, keeping that friendship bond through communications. That's not always about selling something, but it's just about staying connected. And so we've been able to help our clients stay connected and maintain those relationships. And then also for some who, you know, didn't need to go dark, they wanted to keep amping up their messaging because on the other side of this pandemic, there's going to be a lot of work to be done. We've been able to help with those messages. So wherever, we pretty much are in this with our clients, wherever they need our help across the board, we're getting in the trenches with them and helping them out.
Now, you mentioned early that you're digitally integrated and you do marketing, advertising, PR. Is one of those kind of the point of entry for clients and then the relationship blossoms from there?
Many times with us being an independent agent, that happens a lot. We may have a client that has a great relationship with either one of our PR folks or knows about us from, because we have an award-winning PR group as well. And they may come in through that aspect and then say, hey, we need, sometimes it's as small as we need a logo or we need a fully blown campaign. And we get a lot of long-term clients that we've had that we started out with on a single project. And it could have, like I said, could have been as small as a logo or a sell sheet that just blossomed into a really strong relationship where we were able to help each other out.
Well, Wally, congratulations on all the success. If somebody wanted to learn more about Mower, what's the website?
Mower.com, Mower.com.
All right. Well, thank you again for sharing your story.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.